Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may place our hope in the victory that Jesus has won for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. We are celebrating his victory over death. We are celebrating his victory over the grave. And today I'm proclaiming good news from God's word, that the resurrection that began on that first great Easter Sunday is the beginning of the great reign of Christ that will see not only the defeat of death, but also our resurrection to life with God. Here's how today's reading begins. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. St. Paul starts by making the point that our hope in Christ is not for what can be gained in this fallen world. In fact, by living with hope in Christ, we let go of getting our own way in this world. We let go of making money and possessions the most important thing in life. We let go of making status or bodily pleasure, or even the close bonds of family life, the most important things in life. So, seen in terms of getting what this world can give, living with hope in Christ can seem like a pitiable thing. If we all end up in the grave, and that's the end of existence, then we would be foolish to live as if there is something more, and would be especially foolish to give up worldly things if this fallen world is all that there is. But God's word makes it quite clear that our hope in Christ is by no means for this world only. Through his resurrection, we are called into something far greater than the fallen world has to offer. This is what St. Paul says. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. It's not just that Christ has risen from the dead, showing that death does not indeed have the final say in life. It's also that Christ's resurrection guarantees our own resurrection. Now, St. Paul in this reading uses the language of first fruits, language that comes from the Old Testament, where God's people would bring the first part of the harvest as a gift to the Lord, showing that they acknowledged the harvest was a gift from God, and also expressing the hope that they had that the Lord would provide the rest of the harvest. But here, did you notice that Christ himself is the first fruits? He is the offering to the Father, and he is the guarantee of the great harvest of the resurrection that is to follow. So as Christian people, we can understand that Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning of the great work of resurrection that God is doing to restore this fallen world and to order well all things under Christ, so that, as St. Paul says at the end of this great resurrection chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, he says, God will be all in all. Jesus' resurrection is just the beginning of the great work of the resurrection that will include you, as you put your hope in the one who has taken your sins on himself. In fact, St. Paul then goes on to draw the connection between the reality of human sin and the hope that we have in Christ. Listen to what he says. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being.
For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. As human beings, we have a sad solidarity with Adam, with whom we together fell into sin that naturally makes us fearful of God and unwilling to trust God. We're descendants of Adam, made of the same flesh and blood, and have a unity with him that takes us to death. But St. Paul is saying, through faith in Christ, we are made alive in him. We have a union with a human being who does not drag us down into death, but who lifts us up into the resurrection. St. Paul now pictures a great and well-ordered victory parade, which is led by Christ, and where everything and everyone has a place given to them by the same God who unifies his whole creation in love. This is what St. Paul says. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. The beginning of God's victory over death starts with Jesus. It starts with his resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of the Father. Then, following in Jesus' footsteps, we follow, we who belong to Christ, not because we've somehow earned God's favour, but because we trust that he has dealt mercifully with us, because we place our hope in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Then, St. Paul, in case we think reality is summed up by our own small part in God's creation, expands the meaning of the resurrection to a cosmic scale. He says, then comes the end, when Jesus hands over the kingdom of God to the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Now, the word end here doesn't just mean finish. It means the goal. Just like the end of an acorn is an oak tree. The goal of an acorn is an oak tree. The goal of Jesus' death and resurrection is the establishment of his kingdom, where all the forces that oppose God and that oppose our true flourishing as human beings are destroyed, and where all things are put under Jesus' feet, where all things are subject to his good and gracious will. Now, St. Paul brings his argument to a crescendo with these words. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. From Adam on, death has loomed over human existence. Death, not just as the completion of life, something that must be endured by all living things, from trees to ants, from birds to dogs, to everything that moves or breathes or lives. No, death as we experience it as human beings. What is the experience that we have of death as human beings? That's not shared with our dogs or cats or any other living creature. We experience death as something that we can anticipate, and therefore it casts a pall over the whole of human existence. We know that death frustrates our plans and our pleasures, that it robs us of those we love and mocks us in our grief, and that death adds dread to our guilt and shame. This enemy, this death, St. Paul proclaims, will finally be defeated by the one whose resurrection is the beginning of the great march of victory, the procession of which we are part as we put our hope in Christ. If our hope in Christ were only for what we could gain in this world, we would be worthy objects of pity. We would be trapped in a delusion that would keep us from seeing the world as it is. We would be denying ourselves those things which, although they all lead to death, are all the world would have to offer. But God, through the gospel, opens our eyes to reality. And the reality is that Christ Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the guarantee of the resurrection to which God has graciously called us. Christ is the new and greater Adam, who does not bind us in the sad solidarity of death, but who makes us alive in the kingdom of God. And Christ, who is our true and victorious champion, who is taking all those forces opposed to God and opposed to our own flourishing, who is taking these things captive to his power, so that even the great enemy death itself will die, we live with him. We live with him, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, who is all in all, now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.